Father, we come before you and we ask that you would bless the time together as we open your precious word. We thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We lift him up as we should from the beginning every time we come to your presence, as we know that he is the very reason we come together. We have our salvation in and through him, and we have our peace today and at all times in this life only through him. And yet, Father, we have eternity before us because of him. So thank you, Father, for your beloved Son. We pray in his name. Amen. John chapter 11 and 12 would be our direction today, Lord willing. As we were looking at Lazarus, the man that was sick, in John 11, that the Lord raised from the dead, he said, come forth, and he came bound hand and foot out of the grave. And after that, we see that there was a time where Caiaphas, being the high priest, we see how he prophesied of the death of Christ, a very unique thing there at the end of chapter 11. We'll probably touch on this a little bit when we get into chapter 18 at the cross of Christ, coming near in chapter 18. But here, a man, being an unbeliever, speaking of the cross of Christ as it was about to approach. And yet we see the Lord using this man who would not yield to him as the Lord and Savior. But then as that comes to pass, we find ourselves at John 11 and look at verse 54. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out to the country to Jerusalem for the Passover, to purify themselves. Then sought they Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, what think ye that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees have given him a commandment, that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. So we see a turning point in the Gospel of John. 54, the verse we opened with, Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews. We see here, as in chapters 5 to 11, the tremendous rejection of the Jews, the leaders of Israel, the Pharisees, and the ones referred to as the Jews here in the Gospel of John. The great rejection. But now, in chapter 12, we see a transition time. For in chapter 13 on through 16, we see the upper room ministry and then the great high priestly prayer of Christ to the Father in John 17. We see the ministry to his own in John 13 to 16. So as we're entering in upon John 12, we see the transition from him speaking openly among the Jews and all of their rejection, as he will now be moving on into his ministry to the disciples. So in chapter 11, as it closes out, this man, Lazarus, had been raised from the dead, perhaps the greatest of the miracles in certain ways. We see he is still upon the scene, this man Lazarus, as we open up chapter 12. Chapter 12, the first 11 verses, are really greatly tied in with verse 11, speaking of this man Lazarus. Notice with me verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. So we see here Lazarus, the one that had been dead, is now seated at the table of the Lord. What a tremendous picture here for us. As we saw in the resurrection of Lazarus, what a contrast to the resurrection of Christ that was to come. We looked at a number of contrasts, the differences between the resurrection of Lazarus and the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, we can compare Lazarus and ourselves. We that were dead, spiritually dead in trespasses and sin, we that have been saved, we that have been made alive, we that have been quickened, are now seated at the table of the Lord. The table of the Lord is speaking of the spiritual table that we are at now that we are believers. Different than that of the Lord's Supper, which is sometimes referred to as the Lord's table. That is a specific gathering, a corporate gathering of the saints. That is a specific meeting of the church, of the local assembly. But here, when we speak of being at the Lord's table, we are speaking here, the scripture emphasizes the spiritual position we have, not a particular meeting, but a spiritual position that we have, the Lord's table, different from the Lord's Supper. So we see here our spiritual position is this, that we were dead as Lazarus was dead. We've been made alive through Christ as Lazarus was made alive through Christ. And we are at the Lord's table. We are seated in the heavenlies. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we see here Lazarus was found seated at the Lord's table. Seated there, and yet also the connection is made of a supper. So here we can apply it to how we do come around as a group of God's people around the Lord's table, around the Lord's Supper in particular. That gathering which the Lord himself has invited us to, yet he has commanded us to, yet it's with a gracious invitation. Do this in remembrance of me. And in Acts 2:42, it says that in the early church, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, as your teaching, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, which is the Lord's Supper, and fourthly, in prayers. So we see these four mentioned in a particular way. That this is the basis, the fourfold pattern of the local church. So in that, we see here Lazarus found at the Lord's table, found at a supper. What a privilege. A man that had been dead now in the very presence of the Lord. We were spiritually dead, born sinners, had no claim upon the things of God, no opportunity to be in the presence of God. For God heareth not sinners. Until we know Christ as our Savior, we cannot commune with the Lord. We cannot fellowship with the Lord. Our fellowship is with the Father through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the basis of true fellowship. Fellowship is not coming together for a hot dog dinner, which there is elements of fellowship there. Christians are together and such. But true fellowship is based on being together in Christ. The sufferings of Christ, we have been made one in Christ. And we share in common the things of the Lord. The word for fellowship is partnership, is one definition you find in the Greek, is partnership. I believe it's the word koinonia. We have partnership around the things of God. This is in and through Christ. This is fellowship. So here when we see a time of communion with the Lord, a time of Lazarus being there at the very table of the Lord, and yet at a supper, to eat with the Lord after he had once been dead, we think of how, again, this is us. Now we have that great privilege of being at his table moment by moment, but yet also at his supper, to come together. You know, in the early church there, it said Acts 2:42, those four parts, the doctrine, the fellowship, the prayers, and the breaking of bread are the four points of a local assembly. And it said they continue steadfastly. That's the word for continued diligently. to continue diligently would mean equally among the four, wouldn't it? How often do we have prayer and doctrine every week, but yet we ignore the breaking of bread in true fellowship? Now there's fellowship among the prayers and among the doctrine, so there is fellowship among many Christians as they gather together each week. But the one point of the four that's so often ignored is breaking of bread. If it is really part of that fourfold pattern, then why is it often left out to be something done for 5 minutes, tacked on at the end of a meeting, or once every 3 months, or maybe once a month? If it's something to be done diligently, steadfastly, as the other three points of prayer and fellowship and doctrine, then should we not spend time and effort to be in His presence, to commune with Him? This is a time of worship. It's not just a time of passing emblems around and just in a cold, callous, let's just do it in a ritualistic way. It should be a time of meditation, of true remembrance. As it said, do this in remembrance. The word for remembrance, I've been told, is the word for affectionately remembering. Do you not think that Lazarus, when he was found at this supper in John 12, not speaking of the supper we're speaking of in the church, but Lazarus at this supper, surely he was affectionately considering the Lord, the one who had brought him forth from the dead. What else would he want to think about? Being at the very place and in the presence of his Lord, the one who had brought him forth from the dead. Should not this be our attitude as we've been invited to come into his presence and to remember him? And what we see by the emblems that are there at the Lord's Supper point our minds and hearts to the cross and to the person of Christ. You know, this is a tremendous truth, to spend a time with the Lord, a corporate gathering of saints, gathering together in His name to worship the one true God, to remember what He has done for you. And remember that it's not just the death for you not to go to hell, but it was a death that showed that Christ did the perfect will of the Father, that He pleased the Father in that death. And in that, certainly, we are blessed that we have our souls saved. But yet it goes beyond the cross in the sense of for us. It was also for the Father. Lo, in the volume of the book it is written, I come to do thy will, O God. Christ fulfilled the perfect will of the Father. So we see Lazarus here in the very presence of the Lord, eating there with him, sitting there with him. So again, positionally, we are seated in the heavenlies. Practically, we come to eat at his supper and to remember him. Now, if we move on to verse 3, we're going to see some more precious thoughts. But before we go there, one more application or illustration of Lazarus being at the table of the Lord and being at his supper even. Think of that man Mephibosheth in the Old Testament, of how he was lame of the house of Saul, and David sought someone from the house of Saul that he could show kindness to. Turn there if you have a chance sometime and read 2 Samuel 9 of how this man that was lame now was seated at the table of the king. He was seated at David's table and he was able to eat there continually because of the grace shown to him by David. David's such a picture of Christ. Mephibosheth pictures us lame and dead. He said, I'm such a dead dog. How can I be in your presence? What a blessing we have in and through Christ. Join us tomorrow and we'll continue our thoughts. The Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. For Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody. Our phone number is 824-5525. Thank you.